Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 134, part 1. We are hard cases. Today is Friday, February 19th, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, and we're located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you're a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, you can call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also join our community online. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to join us online. And you can also leave a comment, ask a question, or make a suggestion. You can do that at Pastor Paul's blog, where you can also subscribe to the podcast. At the blog, you're going to find scripture links within Pastor Paul's show notes for each podcast. So be sure to go there to check out the scripture links. Be sure to join us part one on Friday and part two on Sunday, the conclusion of Pastor Paul's messages. So for the month of February, the lineup is this: our trials and our divine deliverances, seeing and telling, we are hard cases, and the waters will be watered. So have a fantastic month of February. Happy Valentine's Day. God bless you.
Today's tape is entitled, We Are Hard Cases. Today let's enter into Job 33, 14 through 18. And it says like this: For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when the deep sleep falleth upon men, in slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose, the man's purpose, that is, and hide pride from man. See, we need pride hidden from us. He keepeth back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. I read this and I thought, oh, how great divine agape love is. How preserving divine agape love is. God speaketh once, it says, and yet twice. Did you ever hear your earthly father say, if I've told you once, I'm not going to tell you again. But God speaks to us again and again and again and again. God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. And so he keeps right on speaking. And I thought how stubborn we really are. Know how then, in comparison, how gentle the Lord is. And here we see God saying, God speaketh once, yea, twice. And that meant here that God speaks repeatedly and time without number. I have to go back to where he answers the question, how many times should we forgive a brother? He says 70 times 7, 490 times a day. So you see, the Lord speaks more than once or twice. He speaks repeatedly to us. He's always working on you all the time. Always coming after you. I can't tell you when God first spoke to me. I remember little instances where the Lord spoke to me. Once when I was about 8 years old, went to a church and came before the altar. There was no altar call, but I was drawn to the altar, and I left there. I didn't want to swear anymore. I didn't want to be mean to people anymore, and I looked at things in a brand new perspective, and I always remembered that feeling that I had all the whole of my life until I was saved. Even now I remember it. And it was that good feeling of meeting God. At that time, I didn't know it. I always wanted that feeling to come back again. I don't know exactly when it happened or the different times in my life, but I suppose it's like when God called out, "Samuel, Samuel," and each one of us then answers, "Here am I." I can remember running out into the front room. I thought somebody called me. "Paul." And then I'd go out and I said, "Did you call me?" "No, I didn't call you." Then I'd hear it again and I'd come running out again. "Did you call me?" "No." But I think we can't forget those voices of our own youth. We can't forget those voices of our boyhood or girlhood. The messages that the Lord sent through our loving parents. Did you get a message from your parents? Even if you had so-called bad parents, you got a message through them, some kind of a message. Through your kind parents or your friends, those were all messages from the Lord. Someone speaking a word of encouragement. Someone saying, "Don't do this," or "Do this." Through circumstances, or directly by the Holy Ghost. You remember the Lord speaking to you directly by the Holy Spirit by chance? Something happening in your life, a quickening in your spirit, a little voice telling you not to do something or to do something, and you didn't know where it came from? Well, they call it intuition. They call it whatever, but it's the voice of the Holy Spirit wooing on you. But God spoke to us over and over and over, but we regarded not His voice. I believe there is none so deaf as those that will not hear. It's like children consumed with their own need. Did you ever notice how a kid will cry right through your answer? You say, "Yes, you can have that," but they're so consumed with their own crying, they just keep right on, keep right on crying. "Wait, hold it! I said you could have it!" Then they end up getting it, but it's not the thing they wanted. Spanking. Woo. And I think we are to be numbered among those who will not hear even a voice from heaven. The voice, it says in the Bible, that will one day raise up the dead, break open the graves, and they'll rush right out of the graves. And I thought, oh, how I admire the patience of the Lord. Oh, how we need to develop a spiritual ear and a receiving heart. Don't worry, God will make you hear. Sometimes people don't think they can hear. God has ways of making you hear. Don't you have ways of making your kids hear? And they just sit there and they're watching TV, see, and they're doing something. They won't pay any attention. They're just sitting right there and they're going to watch. "Johnny! Betty!" And they keep right on watching. Do you have ways of making them listen? Do you? Do you have ways of making them obey you? Are you merciful to them? Chances are, no. But don't you have ways of getting people's attention? Don't you? Do you ever try to get somebody's attention and they don't want to have nothing to do with you? You have ways of doing that. I'll make you suffer, buddy boy. Huh? I'll get your attention. Sometimes you have to put bombs under people to get their attention. Break open the TNT here. I see we need some attention getters. Now, I know from preaching right up here, sometimes you got to get people's attention.
Well, yeah, we had to wait so long. Look how long you made us wait. We waited.
Well, so what? Maybe I got you mad now and I got your attention. Doesn't matter. However the Lord wants to work it out, that we have to learn how to develop the spiritual ear and a receiving heart. Doesn't he have ways of bending our stiff necks, melting those cold, cold hearts? Let's look at three things here today. Number one, that man is very hard to influence for good. Now you tell somebody there's something good. We're going to do a good thing. And right away they're turned off. Oh, no. We're going to do a good thing. Right away, we are by nature turned off. Because doing a good thing means we have to do a good work. So right away, alarm sets in. Tilt, tilt, tilt. We don't want to do that. So man is very hard to influence to a good work. Getting awful quiet in here. Have you ever tried to convince someone to... your kids! Now, don't you think it would be a good thing if you went and made your room? Now, the other day, I couldn't even find you underneath all of the covers. I thought you had gone to school, and there you were buried under all these covers. They asked me the question today... They made a survey and they didn't find anybody sleeping in cars. And they went all over and they heard talk of people sleeping in cars and they were all over the place, but they found none. I said, well, they're not sitting upright. Yes, I'm a bum and I'm sleeping in a car. They're laying under a great big pile of covers. They're not down on Hennepin Avenue. They're in the junkyard. You just didn't know where to look for all them bums. You didn't know where to do good. The fact was, didn't want to go out and do that work and do that good to find those brothers that were out there and could care less. Of course, you don't say those things because you might offend somebody. Understand? You have to use a little caution, especially when you're ministering in the world. A little bit of caution. But anyway, this man, we're very hard to influence for God. Your ear must be opened up first. Well, how do you open up an ear? His heart must be turned from an evil purpose. And then his pride has to be conquered. Sometimes people are so proud. And they're proud of being mad. I am mad today. And so they come all the way to work driving in their car. They're mad. They're mad at everybody out there on the streets because they're proud of being mad. And they get to work and they carry on that pride. Good morning. And we actually become proud of being mad. What's wrong? Is anything wrong? No answer. Can I do anything? Well, what you really should do is shake the brother or sister up by a swift kick in the pants. You understand? Now, I know that isn't very spiritual, but it's the truth. Their pride, in other words, needs a kick in the seat of the pants. To jar them loose, so to speak. I'm mad. And I'm going to stay that way. I'm proud of it. I've always been that way. I come from a family of soreheads. Don't look now, but your wound is festering. Let's bind it up. It might be contagious. I think there's a whole lot of prep work to be done before men are saved. I think it's a work of the Holy Ghost. It works all through people's lives, different segments of their lives. This happens, that happens, whatever happens, good and evil happens at all. Everything happens to them. Why? Well, all things are working together for good for them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. And God created evil and good. He'll have His own way in. You better mark it down today. God's going to have His own way with you, whether you like it or not, proud or not. He'll break that stiff neck and He'll bow you down. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, period. So why not give up?
Why not surrender yourself to the cross?
Why not nail it down? Like today they said at this panel meeting, they said, well, what panel are you on? The thought come to my mind, well, if we're all panels, we're all going to be nailed to the wall. Doesn't matter which panel you belong to. But the person I was addressing had been nailed to the wall in the paper, so I thought, well, I better not say that one to him. Yeah, there's a nailing to the wall. It's like prepping food. First you go on out and you dig up these taters, see? You dig them up off. So somebody had to plant them, and then somebody had to go out and water and color it and get all the weeds out. Then someone had to go out there and pick them out of the ground. Then they had to be washed. Then they had to be bagged. Then they had to be taken to the market. Then they had to be sold. Someone had to buy them with a price. Then they had to take them home and they had to wash them. After they washed them, they had to cook them, peel them and cook them, and then they had to mash them. Prep work. That's kind of like what happens to us. We get planted in the ground. We get taken up. We get washed. We get marketed. We're marketable then. We're worth something. We're bought with a price. We're made edible, palatable to God. There's prep work in bringing people to Christ. There's a work after that they're brought to Christ. Well, no, you're not a Christian. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. That has nothing to do with it. You're a Christian first, and then the work starts to happen. Then there's work, wait, prep work that happened way down the line. After you're bought with a price, and a whole lot of things got to happen to you after that. That's where we fall down all the time. Yeah, we do. Number two, God knows how to get to them. God knows how to get to you. How many know God knows how to get to you? Whether it's by day or whether it's by night. By voices heard in the middle of living. You ever been living and working around and doing this and that, and all of a sudden a voice comes right in the middle of all your living and all your working, and you know it's the voice of God? He has ways of getting to you. He'll get to you through folks. Somebody get to you this week? Let me think. Oh, no, it was 8 days ago. Well, did somebody get to you this month? Hey, you can't go through this world without somebody getting to you. Come on, somebody got to me. Somebody will get to you tomorrow. Ooh, she gets to me. It says, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, in the slumbering upon the bed, then He openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction. Why does He come in the middle of the night? Well, there's not as many interruptions. You're slumbering and your brain is half sleepy and you have to receive. So He comes in and He places His instruction in your heart. Here's your instructions. And you wake up and you say, I had the funniest dream last night. Does God get to you at night? When you get into a deep sleep, slumbering upon the bed, He opened the ears of men. That's because all the other sounds aren't there. Sounds of a preacher, maybe, that you don't want to hear. sounds of the city, the honk honk and the beep beep and the shut ups and the get goings, and I told you so's and all that and all the conversation that goes on during the day for it to drive you nuts. It comes to you, and I got you all alone, I want to talk to you. He says, I'm going to give you these instructions, and not only that, I'm going to seal their instruction. Sealed. Number three, then, thus the Lord accomplished great purposes for men. Listen to what he says. That he may withdraw, listen, man from his purpose. What's your purpose? And hide pride from man. He keepeth back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. Isn't that a great God? So first then, let us start with what is a very humbling consideration. That man is very hard to influence for good. Because good takes work. That's a dirty word to a lot of folks. Say amen. This has been, and I believe always will be true. Can an Ethiopian, it says, change his skin or the leopard his spots? And then he goes on. Then may he also do good that are accustomed to doing evil. When that happens, then man is going to do good. You don't do good on your own. None of us do. You cannot take credit for anything that's done good, because all good comes from God. Any good we do is tainted with, I want some credit. Or, oh yes, yeah, oh, mm. Yes, that's me. You probably heard of me. Yesterday, Jan and I were sitting in the cafe, and I just happened to be looking over at this guy for no particular reason. I just thought, wow, that guy needs help. And he came over and says, I caught you looking at me. You're probably wondering who I am. Didn't he? I could almost see the religious gowns flowing from side to side. His gown didn't fit too good either. And he sashayed for a while, and his chin went back, and I thought, boy, isn't that man? Isn't that a picture of us? Yes, he says, you've probably seen me on TV. I'm the man that does the commercial, eating commercial. And I thought, oh, that is the most repulsive one I've ever seen. I'm thinking these thoughts. This guy jams pizza in his face, and was that rigatoni or whatever, some kind of thing. Then he jams some more in there and has some of this, and he slushes down a liter of pop. Yes, I've been on for quite some time. He was way out here. I thought, brother, you better get off. Now, God's got to help me with my thought life. I know that. But anyway, that's how I got my messages. I thought, you know, that could be a perfect picture of me. The only thing is, I know how to act a little better than he does. Getting kind of quiet in here. Aren't we all like that to some degree? Don't we all have our own little motives? I believe the Savior's sad complaint is still true of very many today. Ye will not come to me that ye might have life. No. The heart of man, it says in the Bible, is deceitful above all things. Above all things? Oh, you must be talking about this other guy's heart. Surely not mine. See, because I've cleaned up my act. Now, be careful when you think you stand, lest you fall. Now you get into that kind of legalism, I'll tell you one thing. God will say, well, now you're living that way, and you want to live that way. You want to keep the letter? Well, you're going to keep the whole letter. Now let's see you do it. You're going to fall. There is no way you can stand on your own because your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately. Imagine God saying this. It isn't just desperate. Oh, I was so desperate. God is saying, desperately wicked. I mean, the heavens are thundering with the voice of God. The full meaning and the full brunt of the word is there. Desperately wicked. Whew. Now, when God speaks, that's a little bit of a different story, isn't it? Anyway, according to this text, before God himself can save men, he has to open their ears up. Then he openeth their outward ears. Now, most of us in here have no kind of hearing problem whatsoever. You can hear a quarter drop about a block away. Yeah. You can hear gossip quick enough. Oh, what was that? What was that? What? So-and-so, did I discern something? Goodness, what? What was that? Huh? Oh, we're quick enough to hear that, aren't we? Or flattery. Oh, I just love their hairdo. And gorgeous. What? And you walk around. What'd you say? Like, oh. You rang? Huh? We're quick enough to hear that, aren't we? Are we quick to hear it? Nothing wrong with our ears, nothing at all. It's just that we're tuned into that kind of a thing. Isn't that right? Our receivers are tuned into it. We're AM. Instead of FM, let's say. Forevermore. We hear everything not worth hearing. Everything. People snitching on one another. And then I said, and she said, and I said, furthermore, sister. Oh, I could just claw her eyes out. If I was the old me, I would. People always tell you, boy, it's just a good thing that I'm not like I used to be. That's for sure. You're bad enough the way you are right now. God. God save us from the old person if it's worse than this. But you see, we got to get our ears unstopped. Sometimes people come to church and you can actually see they're all set. They got cotton, rotten cotton. When those cotton balls get rotten, they have them in their ears. They even wet them down a little bit so they go in a little further and dry and swell up. Now, I know this irritates people, but I think you got to have a little bit of irritation in your preaching. Can see it, their eyes kind of go across. And they get that look on their... Hey, either the preacher get up and preach the truth and you just do it the way the Holy Ghost has you to do it, praise the Lord, you do it, or woe be it to you if you don't preach the gospel. Woe be it if you don't give people the truth. Truth is, most times, we have cotton balls, rotten cotton balls in our ears. We don't want to hear it. Do you ever notice that your kids... when you want them to do something, they got them rotten cotton balls in their ears. Now, who do you think they take after? They come up and climbed up on top of you and took a little bit of the wadding out of your ears because you don't hear them either. How many of you really hear what your kids are saying? No, because you got them great big... You can sit on the phone for 40 hours. Get away! Every time I get on the phone, you bother me. Well, you've been on for 4 hours. It's dinner time. The kids are starving.
It seems like every time I get on the phone, they're on the phone all the time. And did you ever notice, whenever you get on the phone, the kids right away come to you and they want something. Well, they want to get your attention before you really get involved in whatever you're going to get involved in that telephone. They know that there's no getting to you after that you get on, because you got them great big old rotten cotton balls in there, and all you're going to hear is back and forth about your own life. And then I told him, and he told me, and so on like that, and I'm just praying, my God, that it work out. I just pray, God, shut up, get out of here! And I'm, Must have cotton ball must have dropped out of her ear. She heard the kid that time, did she? But we hear what we want to hear, is what I'm saying. Like cotton balls are in our ears. And a veil over our heart. Say amen. Scales, it says in the Bible, over their eyes. Now, there is no preacher known in this modern world that is able to pull these plugs of cotton balls out of people's ears. No known way of pulling cotton balls out of people's ears. It takes God to unstop ears, is what I'm saying. Man doesn't want to hear, he isn't going to hear, just like kids that don't want to hear you. Did you hear that? Now you heard that one. Now we're really going to try to hear. You know what? It'll last for about 30 seconds. And the cotton balls will float around. Maybe you won't get your own cotton balls. Maybe these rotten cotton balls flying around, you'll get somebody else's cotton balls. Can you imagine a whole room of people sitting with cotton balls out of their ear? That's actually what it is. You know, you should do that sometime, and you should have new people come to church, and everybody sit with cotton balls in their ears. What are they doing? Well, they don't hear anything. They have cotton balls in their ears. If I knew it was going to be this kind of message, I wouldn't have come. It wasn't worth waiting for. I'll tell you that. You heard that, didn't you? Huh? Getting to you? Well, God's got a way of getting to you. And so he can get those cotton balls, them rotten cotton balls out of your ears. But preacher, don't you wear yourself out trying to do it without the Holy Ghost. It ain't going to work. There's no way it's going to stop trying to invent ways to win men's attention. You're not going to win their attention. No way. Because they got them rotten cotton balls stuck in both of their ears. They got to have rotten cotton balls. Do you think that an assembly of people that I was with today, that they didn't have rotten cotton balls? They didn't even hear what they were saying. Ask the question, well now, why is that person out in the street? They have scales over their eyes, these people that ask these questions, and they have rotten cotton balls in their ears. That's like walking up to a man and he's been shot in the head. And you say, well, now just wait a minute. I want a little bit of history on this. What got you in this condition? Now, you're dying, granted, Granny. I see you're bleeding and everything. But I just want to ask you a question before we call the ambulance. I'm on a long-range program here. See, I don't believe for these short-range programs like pulling a bullet out of your head, because it ain't going to do you no good if you don't change. And I'm sitting there with all of this going on in my head, and I knew I couldn't minister it. I wanted to interrupt about 50 times. But I did say, brother, I'll tell you what, you get that way in steps. You don't get to be a bum overnight. It's over a hill and over dale that you hit the dusty trail, and people don't want you to come back, and people don't want to see you coming because you're dirty and you stink. But they will take a survey and ask you questions. Now, just exactly how did you get into this miserable look at you? Phew. Stand downwind from me, will you, brother? Phew. Now, how did you... What's that? You're hungry? Whose fault is that? How did you get this way? Answer the question. I want you to fill out this form here. There's 8 pages, 917 questions. You answer them right, and we're going to give you something to eat. How did we get the way we are? In steps. Are you feeling mean today? You didn't get that way all at once. You got mean in degrees. Yeah. You don't get that way. You're not just instantaneous. Mean! No, you get that way. And God keeps speaking to you, trying to bring you out of that thing. Right? I mean, since the fall of man, see, it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And that's how we got that way. But we want to ask these questions, don't we? You want to walk around the guy with a bullet in his head. Poke him with a stick. Oh, still alive. Well, it's not my concern. Are you hearing this? And so these people I was talking to, their ears were stopped up. They didn't hear the cries of the people. No, they're going to go for a long-range program. And maybe when the long range gets over, most of these folks will be dead. That's like when they took Social Security and they upped it a year. Well, they figured it out. Well, there'll be so many that'll die. According to statistics, so many will die, and that way we won't have to pay out them funds. Isn't that something? People wishing you would die. Now, if they do that to babies, what makes you think they ain't going to do it to you? You're more of a problem than them babies is. Aren't you? Well, that's incorrect English. See, I got your attention off of that one too, didn't I? How many did I get their attention right there? Just put your hand up and say, yep, you sure did. Well, at least you're good English students. Maybe I should flub up a little bit more. But are you hearing this today? Our ears are stopped and we're not hearing the cries of the people because God has to unloose the ears, and it's only the gospel message that'll do it. That's like I said, these children that turn off their parents. Man does not want to hear God's voice. Oh, he'll hear God's voice for you, but he won't hear God's voice for himself. Man is at enmity against God. Man in the natural hates, it says, God. It takes the Spirit of God for you to love God. Because it says, if you love me, you'll obey me. Is that right? Well, is that right? If you love me, you'll obey me. And half the folks don't even come to church. They love something else. Say amen. You listening on the radio. I mean, you know, you sitting there and you're listening on the radio all the time. Now you just turn me off again. Click. Well, wait a minute. Well, she'll turn it back on again. She always does. It's the same woman all the time. Oh, okay. Now I held off for you. I know you're back on again. Praise God. You turn me back on again. This message, it's for you, yes, you out there, that's sitting out there with those rotten cotton balls in your ears. Whoops, there I go again. Don't you see that sin separates us? Well, politics can get your attention, can't they? Health fads can get your attention. Isn't that right? Exercise classes and flab losers. Fat watching clubs, and everybody sits around and looks at each other's fat. Sports. Doesn't sports get people's attention? Doesn't it? They can tell you the batting average of so-and-so back in 1917, and they weren't even born yet. Or Let's Go Eat could cause a stampede in here right now. Huh?
Somebody come down the aisle here with a great bit. Doesn't have to be much. Doesn't have to be choice food. Just some McDonald's French fries. Oh, num, num, num. And a great big platter of Wimpy Burgers. Trust me, till Tuesdays. And carry them in and some liters of diet cola. And carry them in. I would lose you right now. That's all it takes. Your God is our belly. Is that right? Why is that? Because your ears are stopped up. Isn't that right? Rotten cotton balls. Let's go eat. Well, you hear that. Men, I thought, are so careless when it comes to hearing God. What does careless mean? That means they could care less. Don't we say it? The world says it all the time. I could care less. Huh? Did you say that? How many have said that this week? Yeah. That's pretty careless of you. But don't we all feel that way sometimes? Someone's telling us a story. And then the house burned down. And depends on where you're at, though. If you're not prayed up, nothing affects you. Okay? And the house burned down, and we don't even have a pair of socks to wear. And they go through this whole story, and you know, we're so unconcerned because we got rotten cotton balls in our ears. And we can hardly wait for them to get done. You know why? Our coffee's getting cold in the other room. I could care less about your house burning down. You know, it's dangerous to be honest, isn't it? Just to be honest is dangerous. Could be dangerous to your health. You could throw me out this window. Oh, you unloving, uncaring person. I hate you. No, I'm just saying this, is that unless my ears are unstopped by the Lord, and I'm open to what the Lord is saying through that person, and I have to put myself into these things, otherwise nobody would ever listen. You don't put yourself in situations where other people are. Even though you haven't been there for a while, you get there anyway. I mean, even if you boast that you're not there, then God will put you there. So you guys gotta be careful, see? But anyway, might as well say you are there and equate with people. Relate with people. How many times have you heard somebody give you a sad story and you just thought, you're out there street ministry and your feet are cold and you're just saying, God, my feet are freezing. Will you hurry up with this thing? Will you? I mean, I want to go home. My hour is up. Did it ever happen to you? Sure did. Did it? And then what we do is we go home and we start to get legal with it. Why was I that way? Because you are a sinner saved by grace. That's why you were that way. Okay? Now I'm going to improve myself. And tomorrow night, I'll dress warmer. How many hearing this? See, until our ears are unstopped, and until our scales are taken off our eyes, and until God, by the Holy Spirit, speaks to our heart, we're nothing. Totally nothing. We could care less. Careless. And so when God speaks to us, we're so caught up in worldliness, we don't hear Him. That's like if you live right downtown next to Big Ben down there, we go, bong, 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 bong. And if there was a town crier, 5 o'clock and all is well. And you lived right there. Do you know what? It wouldn't be long and you'd ask somebody right after they went by and right after the gongs went, you'd say, what time was it?
We become dull of hearing. Why are we dull of hearing? Because we've got rotten cotton balls in our ears. That's why. Oh, God, we have. We're too busy to see God. We're into worldliness. Oh, I'm too busy. Busy, 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 busy. Give me the saw. Give me the hammer. Give me the baking pan. Oh, I'm so busy in my little busy life. Baby, baby. Oh, fried too over easy, honey. Yeah. A toast. Yeah. Okay. Oh, busy, busy. Oh, diaper. And we're so busy being busy with our busy selves, we get too busy for God. Oh, I've been so busy lately. Really? Well, let's sit down and explain to me what you've been busy with. That sounds interesting that you can spend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, just being so busy that you can't even see God. Oh, come on, tell me. What have you been into? Now, the radio just went off again. The couple of tape players. Because we can get so busy. Those are cotton balls that are in our ears. Aren't they? And while we're getting cotton balls in our ears and we're not hearing the cries and the pleas of the people and the voice of the Holy Spirit and we can't be reached, we just sit in our own little self and we get bitter and we get legalistic and we get mean. How many are hearing this message today? Oh, we're not aware of the time. Not aware of the time. So if it-